The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 180 of the Canes Cast. And you know what?
What's that?
I feel like we're going to have an award winner with this one.
Oh, it is an award-winning podcast. Well, I wish. We at least have an award winner on the podcast.
Yeah.
Which I think makes, by extension, the podcast award-winning.
I would think so.
Is there an NHL award for best podcast?
Should be.
There should be. We'll call the powers that be. Hey, we've got somebody who can make that call now because he's the winner. The Jack Adams Award. First time in franchise history that Carolina Hurricanes or Hartford Whalers head coach has been bestowed that honor. And it, of course, belongs to Rod Brind'Amour, who is our very special guest today on Canescast, which is brought to you, as always, by Storm Brew, a fine beverage, one of many fine beverages from our friends at R&D Brewing.
Yes, you can pick it up anywhere that fine beverages are sold, so at your favorite grocery store, or you can pick it up at Costco, and if your favorite place doesn't have it, just ask for it, and they can reach out to R&D Brewing and bring in Storm Brew for you, which is just 97 calories, 2.4 carbs, and as the weather is heating up, it is perfect beachside, lakeside, poolside, or just enjoying everyday life responsibly.
Couch side.
Podcast side. That's where it should be enjoyed the most.
Yes, I agree. I don't think, you know, even though it is such a light, tasty beverage, I don't know if Rod Brind'Amour enjoys them because he has to stay fit and sculpted.
And he is that.
And he is that.
Also, he is the NHL Coach of the Year. That is the Jack Adams Award, as the Web's Michael Smith has just detailed. We will talk to him in but a minute. Normally, we usually do some build-up before we get to guests. Not this one. This is about Rod Brind'Amour today, and as well it should be. I just wanted to state, you could have made a case every year of his coaching career so far, and it's only been three, that he should have been one of the three finalists for the Coach of the Year,
right,
for the job that he has done with this team, with this organization, with this franchise. And you're going to hear from the head coach exactly why, for the first time in Carolina Hurricanes history, and only the second time in franchise history, that this organization has gone to the playoffs 3 years in a row, and it's got a really good chance of going for a long time in a row with a three-year contract extension that was also handed out to the head coach, which was richly deserved. We knew it was coming. I know there was a lot of hand-wringing about why wasn't it getting done sooner, why wasn't it announced sooner. There's a lot of things that needed to get done. I think everybody knew that it was just a done deal, just a matter of timing and dotting an I here or there, but it all got done, and the Jack Adams Award winner will be behind the bench for the Carolina Hurricanes for at least three more years. That's what the contract extension says.
Right. Yeah, it was a big day for Rod Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes organization on Thursday, June 17th. Nice, too, that it ended up falling on the 17th of all days, you know, honoring the great jersey number of Rod Brind'Amour that hangs in the rafters at PNC Arena. But it's also, you know, it worked out to where we could push the podcast back a couple of days.
Yep.
and bring you a much more content than we would have been able to bring you on Wednesday.
Because absolutely,
as of Wednesday, nothing really had happened.
And speaking of that content, here is the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right, we're joined by Carolina Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour. And first things first, congrats on, well, a couple of things from yesterday. A new contract and, of course, the winner of the Jack Adams Award, both very deserving. How was yesterday? What does it feel like to, one, you know, get the contract, put pen to paper and get that contract taken care of, and then to be recognized for your work behind the bench?
Well, the contract thing it seemed to take a life of its own this year, but I there was no real question on, you know, was I going to come back, and we had some other things that we had to work out, but I just wanted to make sure we had our people back. You know, like, it's important to me to be working with the people I get to work with every day, and you guys included. Like, you guys know who are down here, and just, we got quality people around, and that was really my concern. So, you know, we got that taken care of, and now we can focus on, you know, moving forward here with our group and try to get better. I mean, we're not in it to be watching the playoffs this time of year. So we want to figure out how to get better. And I think we got this great group of athletes, number one, that you guys talk to all the time, work with. It's a special group. But, and that's really, I guess when I look back on it, big deciding factor for me to make sure I wanted to keep at it was these guys. These guys are great. I get to work with them every day, not just my staff, but the players and special. So that's really what it's all about.
When you were a player, I'm sure you wanted continuity. You wanted to know who your wingers were and all of that. Has that become even more of something in your mind of how important that continuity is now that you're a coach of, I know what this coach is going to say, or I know what the strength and conditioning, the head strength and conditioning trainer is going to do, or what Dougie Bennett's going to tell me, that you have that every day. There's no curveballs coming at you.
When you have good people doing that you can rely on, then you don't want to lose them. And you want to work with them because you have a chance. Like if you don't have good people in places, it makes it harder on you. It makes it harder on everybody. So you're covering all the bases. Now I can focus on what I need to do. And I know Billy's got it covered in here with the training. Like I don't have to micromanage. I don't have to be sitting here watching. Are they doing what they need to do? I know he's got that covered. I don't know anything about injuries and doctor stuff, but I know Dougie's got it covered. Not only that, I know the doctors that they're using. They're the best in the world. Like Marty's, he's worked on me. I know what he's capable of, right? Like, and they care about our team. Like it's very special to have these kind of people around. And that's part of what makes it so special here.
I know that it's always team first for you, but you're the coach of the year in the NHL. I'm not sure that you ever wrote that down on a list of things that you wanted to do in your life, but for you, I know Mike asked, what does that mean? But behind the scenes, I know you want to give credit to everybody else, but how much does this mean for the organization and those guys?
Yes, too? There you go, Mike. It's the organizational award, I think. If there's any coach that ever won this that said, "Oh, it was because of me," he shouldn't have been the coach of the year. Like this totally says it's good validation for our group that we know we're doing some good things. And go back to our first topic or whatever it was, people. We got great people in here. We got to keep them. We got to make sure that we keep, getting better. But we know we're onto something, and that's really what this recognition is, in my opinion.
You've taken this team back to the playoffs in your first 3 years as head coach. What do you think you've learned the most from being behind the bench and leading this team back to being really a perennial playoff threat?
Well, it's a tough question. I mean, what do you learn? You learn every day stuff, right? It's funny. You're getting recognized now for this year, but I feel like of the 3 years I've been here, the job I did the best was the first year. I this year I was like, I didn't have to do much because our guys are just going along and the machine was just running and I don't really know what I was doing, differently or it was just kind of, they did it. And so what did I learn? I mean, I learned it's hard to win and you need everything going your way. You need to, you need to stay healthy and, stuff we kind of know, but it's so true. When you get, especially down to the end, and when you get against the best teams, it's the margin's so tight, and we're right there, which is great. I feel good about our group, but we gotta keep getting better because obviously, clearly, we're not quite there.
I know that when you lose in the playoffs, it's so sudden, and that's what everybody dwells on, Rod. But have you had enough time to look back? This team won 36 games in the regular season, was what, a point or two away from having the best record. You talk about making the team relevant. The team was relevant, talked about almost every day. Can you look back at the whole, or are you still looking back at what happened in the second round?
It's almost two separate seasons, right? Like this award that we're getting recognized for really should be, it should say coach of the regular season, right? Because you're not playing right now. There's nobody that wants this award and would trade it in for winning a Stanley Cup. But to get to the regular season, like you said, especially this year, how the grind was, and then our record, we lost 10 games, 12 in the total, but the last two were almost, you got to almost throw them out because of how they worked, and we didn't really play guys. Our guys came to play every night, and that's special, especially when it was every other night, and you would have expected some sort of dip or in our performance, and even there was a few stretches where we lost a few in a row, like the Tampa, those were good games, and we could have gone either way. Like, it wasn't like we had those stretches where what you would have expected, and that says a lot about this group. And again, I keep talking about it, but that's the truth. We had a special group. So you're right. You look back on it. It was a great year. It just that's not what we came out here to do, is have a great year, a regular season. We wanted to win the whole thing.
It was an interesting season in a lot of ways. Is there one kind of moment or memory that is going to stand out to you that maybe you'll take with you in the years to come from the regular season or even from the playoff run?
Oh, man, there is. I know it doesn't pop in my head right now. It's one of those when I look back on, someone might say, "Hey, you remember that?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, that was pretty neat." Yeah. I think the whole, just being able in this environment, let's remember where we were, COVID environment, to have the opportunity to play was huge. So we were like, okay, good. No fans. Okay, that blows, but at least we're playing. To get the fans back at the end and to have that kind of atmosphere in here was really special. And I think that I'll remember that, especially those first playoff games. It was kind of like, everyone just took a breath and said, we can forget about all the crap we've dealt with. And I thought we were able to kind of give some people some kind of excitement during that time. So that's probably what will stand out.
All right, I want to follow back on something you said where you're like, I don't even know what I did this year coaching-wise. But isn't that what coaching is kind of about? You implement, this is how we're going to do it, and then you get that group, and they follow it. And then soon you don't have to keep telling them the same message over and over. They get it. Is that kind of how you're looking at coaching now?
Totally. And that's, when I started this, I would kind of hoping that's how this would go, right? Like, you put in what you believe, and then let it see if it kind of gets in the group, and then the group's got to do it. The players play the game. The coaches put the plans in, and then, really you sit back and you go, okay, let's see it all, mature and go after it. But, again, it was a good year, but we got to take the good out of it and then figure out how we get better with the stuff we came short of.
So do you, after in the week and a half since that game five, have you watched more playoff hockey? Do you study, what's happening in the semifinals?
For sure. You're always looking for something, maybe a power play breakout that you didn't see, which at this point now, it's been at it for a long time. There's nothing that you haven't seen, but occasionally that might be something. It's why you ought to watch. There might be something, that a system that you see that you might be able to implement. Not likely, but that's kind of, you're always looking for that little edge in the way teams play. I watch because there's this time of year too, especially, there's just nothing on. Like, I know there's NBA basketball, don't get me up fired up, but it is funny to flip back because I'll flip, right? The NBA's going on at the same time, and I'm a big sports fan, and the intensity in an NBA game, and then you go watch the NHL game, I'm like, whoa, like, we got a good game. Like, it's a little different, people. No offense. Like, so, I love this time of year for watching the hockey.
Charles Barkley agrees with you on that when it comes to playoff basketball versus playoff hockey. So that's a good guy to have in your corner.
It is. He's a great. I love Charles. Get sidetracked, but this is how kind of guy he is. When we won in 2006, okay, Jimmy V tournament was going on back in those days. So we went as a team, and, we were up there. I'd met Charles a couple times, just saying hi. He was at a different table, and I'm at this. He made his a point. I saw him. He's beelining over, and I'm like, oh, here comes Charles. Like, everyone knows Charles. And he came over, sat down with me, never really any conversation, and just congratulated me. I thought, that's a class act right there. He had no business doing it. He didn't have to do any of that. And I just thought, that's my man. I love that guy. So there you go.
Maybe he'll have good things to say next year when the NHL's on TNT.
I know.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, exactly.
Get him in. I know family's really important to you, and I know that this had to be a tough year because you couldn't go back to Canada and see your parents. So are you going to have an opportunity to do that? And I've only met your dad a handful of times, but he is a fantastic guy with always one good thing to say out the door. So what's he going to say? What's he said to you about your success here the last day?
He's a character. So it's funny, now I'm thinking back to one of the great moments of this year. It was actually when the boys sang him happy birthday, because it was just, I didn't expect that. I just was, just thought about something, and that made his you know, year. I mean, I always said my dad's got some health issues, so he basically lives and dies watching us. That's his kind of, you know, his day. So, again, that's a special group we have. What's he going to say? He's going to throw some joke. Like, it's always a joke. I haven't even talked to him yet, to be honest with you. So, but he it's always, you know, he'll somehow say it was because of him or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's always got some, like, I taught you everything, you know, that kind of stuff, which there's some truth to it, but not really. You know, not really.
Well, Roddy, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Congratulations again on not only the contract, but also on the recognition for the job that you've done behind the bench. It's certainly, I think, a recognition of this year, but also of the two previous years as well, because I think, and we've talked about it before, you could have made an argument that first year you were incredibly deserving of the nomination. So to finally get recognized for what you've been able to do, to make this team relevant again, to bring back that the passion and the fervor in the stands has been awesome to watch, and I think a large credit is due to you.
Well, I appreciate it. You guys are great. Thanks for the support. And like, it's always about, okay, how do we get to that next step? Yep. And as long as we, I think, as a group, you guys included, like, everyone that's here understands that that's great. It's not good enough, right? Like, hey, let's make sure you guys make a good point. You do need to say what it is. It was a great year. Yep. You know, like, I think it's funny now. I listen to the media and stuff, and they're all hard on us. Yep. And I'm like, okay, this is good. Like, 3-4 years ago, they wouldn't even have dreamt of saying, like, what's wrong with you guys when we lose to Tampa? And, you know, like, hey, you know, we got to get better. But you're right. We do need to celebrate. Take a moment to say, hey, that was a good year, and then let's figure out how to get better.
And the fact that I think Michael and I are really happy about you got the, and we knew it was going to get done in some way, shape, or form, but you're still behind the bench. And as long as we're here, that means we still get to ask you what you would fix about the NHL.
Oh,
at least once. I've been waiting on this once a week.
We've been waiting on this. We talked about this, what, 6 months ago?
Yes.
And I said, I got the plan, and you guys haven't had me back on. So, I mean, obviously, you don't. And have you not been watching? My plan would have been taking care of a lot of stuff that's been going on here this year. So
I know this. Telling you. Your plan in the playoffs would have made everything run a heck of a lot smoother than what we've seen so far.
I mean, let's go. When are we? You guys got to give me the time. On the mic, let's have it out so you can hear the whole plan, and then you tell me. You got an honesty. Tell me after you take it all in if it's something that would work.
All right.
Okay. So let's set a date. I'll come on your show. We'll do it.
All right. You heard that.
Done.
That's a perfect way to say thank you to the coach of the year, the National Hockey League, and coach of your Carolina Hurricanes, Rod. Thanks
all
for
right,
everything.
Guys. No problem.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Carolina Hurricanes head coach and Jack Adams Award winner, Rod Brindamore, for joining us.
And when are we getting it on the books? Because the Rod Brindamore Fixes the NHL podcast is coming.
It is, yeah.
We've promised it.
It might be a whole podcast series.
I would do this every podcast.
Yeah, and he mentioned it again yesterday as we were leaving the arena at, I don't know, 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever it was. He said, anytime.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. We'll do it.
Okay.
So it's going to happen. At some point this summer, we'll sit down and we'll hammer it out.
Episode 181.
Boom.
And 182 and 183.
It's a whole series.
However long he wants to talk about it, because there are certain factors that need to be fixed. But you hear it when you talk to him. And if you've seen any of the interviews that he has given, his acceptance of the award when his first NHL head coach, Brian Sutter, gave it to him, how he talks about it's everybody else. He never gives himself enough credit ever. By the way, one of the things about doing podcasts that I love versus, you know, the old radio scrums. Shows and whatever. Yeah. Oh, scrums.
Yeah.
In particular.
Scrum lurkers.
But for podcasts, you can go down different roads and it's more relaxed. The Charles Barkley story.
I know.
I mean, that
came out of nowhere too.
I'm sitting there going, well, Michael and I didn't have any inside information about how Charles Barkley tracked down Rod Brindamore to Jimmy V.
No.
And that story is amazing. And by the way, Charles Barkley, huge hockey fan. He really is.
And maybe huge Caniac.
I would assume so.
We'll add him to the list.
Well, that's another guy's domain, but we can put him on the list. I just wanted to drive home the point, though, what Rod Brindamore said. And I don't want people to get upset about this, because I get it. NBA fans defend their product. NHL fans defend the product. That's what everybody does. But that would be something worth exploring a little bit more, too, where you get guys to kind of cross over and talk about it. The NBA playoffs are fine, and you know, the intensity does step up. But I did that the other night. You flip back and forth, and you're like, is this a really a postseason game?
Yeah.
For like the first half or so of a game, like third and fourth quarter, it really ramps up.
Right.
NHL playoffs, like from the opening faceoff.
Well, as we've seen, you can't afford to get down a goal early.
No.
Whereas NBA playoffs, you can almost just
could be down 25 in the fourth quarter.
It just feels ramp it like. Up. Yeah. Yeah. It's a. I thought he made some good points. Yep. The story about Charles Barkley. I want to see Charles Barkley on some NHL games next year. Hopefully TNT can make that happen.
Well, I think that they'll at least bring him in studio.
Sure.
Because he and Wayne Gretzky have a relationship.
Yeah.
So.
I would love to hear his commentary on NHL games and on, maybe we'll have to get him on the podcast.
I'd be about that.
Charles Barkley. Canes Cast.
I'm sure he'd be for it.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, what's he got going on?
But the end of all of this for me with Rod Brind'Amour and what happened yesterday, the Coach of the Year Award is phenomenal. I'm glad he got the recognition, Michael, because he deserved it. But I'm glad the contract is put to bed early.
Yep.
So there's none of this hand-wringing about what's going to happen, you know, who's talking to him, could this possibly happen? For the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, he laid it out simply. He doesn't think he could do this job in any other place because of how much this place, and it's not PNC Arena, but it's what Raleigh, North Carolina, with the triangle has meant to him.
Yep.
It's his home now.
Yeah.
And that's one takeaway from the things that he said. He goes, how many coaches get to do this in their home?
Right. Because there are plenty of coaches that do end up, say, buying homes or renting
sure.
homes wherever they coach.
You have to because you need a place to live.
Correct. But it's not their home.
Yes, they have a house.
This is Rod Brind'Amour's home. This is his community. This is where he met his wife and married his wife and now has a beautiful family here in Raleigh. And this place means something to him. This organization means something to him. And his dedication to the job that he does behind the bench, I don't think he wouldn't be able to take that elsewhere and replicate it.
No.
Because he pours, you know, everything he has into this job. And, you know, you've heard him say it before, you know, kind of it wears on him. It stresses him out. It's a grind. But it's what he, you know, he loves this place. He loves this organization and he wants to bring it back, to the top of the mountain
wow.
that he once did in 2005-06 when he was the captain of this team. He wants to, you know, he's already brought it back into relevancy, you know, that we heard Justin Williams talk about a few years ago. That goal has been accomplished, but now there's still the goal of being the best team in the NHL. And Rod Brind'Amour said it yesterday. He wants to see that through. There's still another level to get to, and that's the mission.
Well, that's something, too, that I also want to bring up. And don't get me wrong. I get it. You play for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You play to be the champion.
You play to win the game.
But... And I don't know if I want to do a reset on, you know, where we're at as fan bases or society. That would get way too deep for what we do. We're a hockey podcast.
Diving real deep.
But somewhere in all these dusty law books behind me, a really good idea got lost. And it was, if my team is doing everything right and I'm entertained by them for the course of a season, and if I can look at this team and be like, you know what, next year we got a real good chance of winning a title. We're not going away anywhere. We're building something great.
Yeah.
Not just it was a flash in the pan, but something's being built here.
Right.
There used to be that you could take a small little piece of satisfaction away from that. And now it's, unless you're the last team standing, the season's a failure. And I don't buy into that. And don't get me wrong. Because if I was ever in a position of management and I interviewed players, I would ask them one question, and it's going to sound really weird, but it's, would you say that you love to win or you hate to lose?
Yeah.
I hate to lose.
Right.
Winning's great, but I hate losing.
Well, and that's players like Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, they almost hate to lose, you know, more than yep. they love to win. And those are the type of players
Jordan Martinook,
Rod Brind'Amour wants on his team.
Exactly. It's you run down like that list. So I get that. Everybody, you should hate losing. This sounds so weird. You should hate losing more than you love winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it's all about winning a title. But the year that this Carolina Hurricanes team had, they haven't had in about 15, 16 years where they're amongst the league leaders in the regular season for best record. They win a division. You know, we talk about this, and I know people have started to make fun of hanging banners. You hang banners when you do something significant. Winning a division is significant.
Yeah, you hang a banner for that. The Hurricanes have not, put a new piece of fabric up in the rafters since that 05-06 season.
For winning something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm driving at. So I hope what doesn't get lost in this season was how good this team was in the modified Central Division. And the reason why it's there, and it's another step forward, and I know we talked about this last week, is because of the man who just got the 3-year contract extension and was named the coach of the year, voted on by the broadcasters.
Yes.
But it was almost unanimous. It was a runaway victory.
Right.
And a few other people did their impromptu polls. I think Pierre LeBrun polled the general managers.
Right.
And Rod Brind'Amour won the coach of the year amongst the general managers. And yes, it's the regular season coach of the year, as Rod is quick to point out. I love it. He's awarded the coach of the year, and he's like, well, you know, they should say regular season.
And that's true. All of the awards are for the regular season.
All of the awards, except for the Conn Smythe Award.
Exactly.
Is for the regular season.
Right. I'm sure you could go. I know you can go back to 2019 when we made a case for him to be coach of the year, at least, you know, in consideration. We probably made it last year, certainly made the case this year. This year was the year where you were like, okay, if he doesn't win it this year, what's going on here? You know, what are we doing? Because, you know, the year that he guided the Hurricanes to amid, I'll use the word, unprecedented circumstances, adversity, different challenges, like, you know, the job that he did this year was just, he was past due to be recognized for what he's accomplished here. And it's good to see that he was recognized. To your point about, hating to lose, loving to win. I talked to Justin Williams yesterday, and he talked about satisfaction and the fact that really there's only one team satisfied at the end of the season, and that's the team that wins it. Every other team, as long as you're expectations are calibrated properly, which I think the Hurricanes are now, you can recognize that you had a good year, which the Hurricanes had. They had a great year.
Oh, I'm not saying be satisfied.
Right.
This is Mick Jagger. You can't get no satisfaction
until you win the Stanley Cup.
Agreed.
But, you know, they've reached relevancy again. They've gained respect around the league. They still have that ultimate goal. And I think it's coming. And I think clearly they have the right person behind the bench guiding him in that direction. And that's why he's the head coach for another 3 years. That's why he was the coach of the year this year and pretty much a runaway vote. Wasn't even really close. Kind of surprised that Joel Quenneville was third instead of second, but that's...
Well, I think that Dean Evason did an amazing job with Minnesota. And again, it goes back to the first year that we've talked. When you say surprise, I'm not trying to give you a lecture here, Michael, but Eastern Conference coaches get voted on by the Eastern Conference broadcasters, the guys who see you the most, that's who vote for you.
Yep.
And in Dean Evason's case, a magnificent year with Minnesota.
Yep.
The Western Conference broadcasters, some of the Central Conference, when it gets back, Central Division broadcasters, you kind of vote for the guys that you know the most.
Right.
So, not that it's a popularity contest, but when it comes down to first, second, and third, well, the guy I know the most, I'll give the first place vote to.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised. I think Mike Sullivan kind of got booted out because it's a regular season award. He didn't get, I think, in my estimation, enough consideration considering the injuries that he had to deal with, the division that was supposedly so tough in the East, and Pittsburgh won the division.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
So,
I think, and we can get into it because I know we have a voicemail about it later. But we'll get into the Metro Division later.
Look at you listening in on the
tease
on the voicemails.
But Yeah, it was a big day for Rod Brindamore. It was a big day for the Hurricanes organization. The fact that, you know, his contract is now done, and we've said for months that he's not going anywhere. It was only a matter of time. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. And maybe what held it up more than anything was just making sure that, that Rod Brindamore's support staff was taken care of. That's assistant coaches, that's equipment staff, that's medical staff. Because Rod Brindamore said yesterday, he said, you know, we have some great people down here. And to be able to do my job to the best of my ability, I need to surround myself with those people. So he wants to make sure that those folks are taken care of. Doug Bennett, Bill Burniston, you know, that
Bob
cast
Gorman,
of players.
George Alves.
Right. Making sure that they have the contracts that they deserve. And again, that just speaks to Rod Brindamore's character and his value of family, because, you know, when you spend so much time with those people, they become family.
Yep.
Especially in a season like this where you didn't really see, you know, people on the outside too much. It was very much an insular kind of season where he probably spent more time with Chris Uffine and Jeff Daniels and Dean Schnauth and Paul Schoenfelder in the coach's room, maybe than, you know, anyone else outside of the rink. Making sure that his staff is taken care of, that he's not just, you know, coming back and having to bring in a whole new, you know, cast of characters around him, was extremely important to him. And so the fact that the Hurricanes were able to at least get the ball rolling on that, tie up some loose ends there, and then of course get their head coach under contract, all in the same day that he wins Coach of the Year. Pretty special day for him, even though he's very much one to deflect the praise and admiration that he so definitely deserves.
I love the fact that how he talked to us. He goes, "I don't know what I really did this year. You know, I did more." Well, you do more in those years to get the organization to a place where you don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
And that's what great coaching is. You put people in the right places to succeed.
Yep.
That's why continuity is so important. Why you don't want to see, if you've got a good thing going, the only time you want to see people leave is if they're getting a promotion.
Right.
You know, if an assistant is going to be a head coach, you're happy for that. Those are the things that you look at. Also, if you want to talk about the unprecedented season that was had and being insulated all year long, Michael Smith wrote an incredible article that you can read on CarolinaHurricanes.com that you can find.
Thank you.
And I recommend all of you read it. It did a great job capturing what life on the road was like for you and what this season was, unprecedented. I love the beginning, the what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
And then you get to the point of this is why we did it and this is why we're here.
Yep.
It was an odd year for everybody.
It was.
Players, coaches, the media, the fans, but I think when you get to, you look around now and see things are normal, getting
right,
closer to normal. Folks, please do your part to help keep getting us back to normal.
Yeah. I mean, last night when, Rod Brindamore's friends, family gathered in the locker room to watch him win the Jack Adams Award,
yeah,
you know, you kind of had to pinch yourself like, oh, I'm inside with people without masks, you know, eating, drinking, enjoying life.
Being merry,
celebrating. We're finally kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, or maybe even coming out of the tunnel a bit. And it's nice. It's nice going forward to think that, you know, come October when the puck drops in game one of the 21-22 season, that things are essentially going to be normal. There should be, you know, 18,680 people.
Knock on wood. I'll knock on all of it.
Just in case. Because we know how quickly it changed.
Exactly. So let's just whoa there.
Yeah.
Whoa there. Whoa there.
Oh.
Let's get to where we need to go.
Yeah. But it seems like we're at least trending in the right direction.
Yes.
And that's exciting. The Hurricanes are trending in the right direction because of their head coach, Rod Brindamore, who, again, in his first three seasons, has the highest points percentage of any coach in franchise history. He's guided this team to 3 straight playoff berths. He's the first coach to do that in franchise history. Again, first time that this team has ever done it in North Carolina, and the first time since the Whalers, you know, partially stumbled into the playoffs, part of the Adams division, late 80s, early 90s. He is, and again, he won't take credit for it, or he'll deflect as much as possible, but he is a large reason why this team has seen a resurgence in the standings, in league relevancy, in, you know, just appreciation from the fans. He's a big reason why this team is where it is and why this team is where it's going to be in the next at least 3 years.
Okay. Excluding, I'm going to put something out there, and it's not a like it, you can keep it, something different. Excluding Peter Karmanos, who bought the Whalers and moved them to Carolina.
Yep.
That's the most significant person in the history of the organization, because the organization's not here if there's not a deal that's made to move him.
It's like a true chicken and egg thing.
Well, yeah. But if I were to ask you, give me 3 or 4, whatever you want to, I'll leave the door open for 4. 3 or 4 people who have been the most important people to this franchise. Number one is Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah.
If you exclude the franchise 100%. Getting it. And I'm just saying for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Number one has to be Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two, this is where you can now start to get into debates of who and what and where. Yeah. I think Jim Rutherford's on that list.
Yep.
For what he did. Player-wise, Eric Staal is on this list because he was the guy.
Yep.
Ron Francis is definitely on that list because I can tell you, when Ron Francis was a free agent and had a couple of places he could sign with,
right?
Ron Francis signing with Carolina kind of signaled, oh, okay.
Right.
That's big.
Yeah, it lended some credence to this organization for sure.
But there are a lot. There are a lot of people you can go in there, but number one is Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah, and it's not really even close at this point, I don't think.
The way I know Jim Rutherford, we can make it close because Jim is why Rod got here.
He made some big moves. Yeah, that one, chief among them.
So there could be a chicken and the egg for you on that. But
he was the GM of the team when they won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Made some moves to, you know, really bolster that team midseason with Doug Weight and Mark Recchi.
There are new names that we can start adding to the list now.
Sure.
For the last few years.
Yeah, it's, and I don't think it's recency bias either, but you will start to see, you know, Sebastian Aho's name will climb up that list for sure.
Sure.
Andrei Svechnikov's name, I think, will be on that list.
And Don Waddell's turtleneck.
Yes.
That got Andrei Svechnikov here.
Absolutely.
And Don Waddell, who was in the turtleneck as well.
Justin Williams, you can even throw his name
absolutely
onto the list.
That's like, if we were to do this, this sounds like a summer project that we could... We could put off on the listeners here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are approaching the 25th anniversary of this franchise.
Yeah, and that's why.
Next year, of course, but.
You know, that's why. And ownership to me is always a thing where you can look at and say, well, they're the reasons why we have teams in the places that we have them or where they're going or what they're doing. So the ownership here, it's been 2 guys. You could put them at the top of any list that you want.
Yeah.
Peter Karmanos and now Tom Dundon for what. You know, he's done. The team spends up to the cap now and with what they've been able to do. So they're significant, but I'm talking about when you look at that logo, it's the first thing you think of.
Yeah, it's
Rod. It's Rod Brind'Amour.
And that's...
And again, he'll tell you it's everybody else.
Right. And that, you know, Don Waddell said he's a Hurricane, talking about Rod Brind'Amour. Justin Williams said his face is synonymous with the Hurricanes. That's when you think of the Carolina Hurricanes, I think the... Ask most people, they're going to say, think of Rod Brind'Amour.
Yep.
You think of the one, obviously, the one iconic, the most iconic image in franchise history is, you know, him with the cup high above his head.
Yep.
Just that raw emotion. That's the image you think of. And perhaps there'll be a similar image in the not-so-distant future.
That would be great to see.
I think so.
So, and I think the emotion would be the exact same.
I do too.
Mushroom. There is another award that will be handed out. It'll be handed out tomorrow.
If you're listening to the podcast today. On Friday, June 18th.
It is the Lady Bing, which goes for gentlemanly play in the National Hockey League.
And sportsmanship with a high level of play or something. Something like that.
Wow, I'm glad you really ironed out all of the details on this one, Michael.
I'll read you the exact description of what the Lady Bing Trophy is, which was won by Ron Francis previously. It's awarded each year in the National Hockey League to the player adjudged to have exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. So I wasn't too far off.
No, you're right there. Nathan MacKinnon won it last year. If you're into who is up for the awards and what past history would show you, this year, Jacob Slavin is up for the award.
He is, alongside Austin Matthews and Jared Spurgeon. Two defensemen.
That is odd for the Lady Bing.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go out on a ledge and say that if you only commit 2 minutes of penalties all year long, and it's because you flung the puck over the glass, and more than likely inadvertently.
Yeah.
If you're Jacob Slavin.
I think he meant to just bang it off the glass and out the zone. It might have even just floated on him. So I watched the play. It was a defensive zone draw, goes behind the net. He's kind of getting some pressure. He flings it up, up the right side boards, and it just happens to kind of sky over the glass right near the bench. So I don't know if he was trying to bang it off the glass or maybe it you know, carried on him and he was trying to just go off the boards. But that was the only penalty he took all season. And this is a guy who plays 20 to 25 minutes a night against the best players in the Central Division. I would have said the league, but he only saw the Central Division this year. He uses a stick quite a bit and very effectively, but he didn't take one stick penalty. He didn't take a single interference penalty, cross-checking, anything like that. Puck over glass, 2 minutes in the, I don't even know how many minutes he played total, but, you know, when he's playing 20 to 25 minutes a night against the other team's best players, against guys like Nikita Kucherov, well, in the playoffs at least.
He played 52 games, right? He averaged 22 minutes, 59 seconds a game. So 23 minutes a game. And he committed two penalties. Two penalty minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say just one penalty.
So
he spent 2 minutes in the penalty box all season long.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm sure that we could make a case for Jared Spurgeon. Austin Matthews, your mustache disqualifies you from me. There's nothing gentlemanly about that mustache. The rest of his play absolutely fits the bill.
This award is kind of is somewhat obscure.
Well,
because what do you have? Well, for one, I don't think that that the media members should vote on it. I think the people who know the most gentlemanly
players should vote for this.
Right,
yeah.
Are players. So that part's kind of weird. The second part is what are you really? It comes down to, I think, penalty minutes is really the ultimate, I guess, indicator of your gentlemanly conduct or your sportsmanship with a high standard of playing ability. It's kind of a vague, kind of weird description of an award. So
one of the things that the award was, now this is me growing up and how my buddies and I viewed the Lady Bing and what it was, and it was kind of like the, you're not going to win the MVP award. You should be one of the finalists for the MVP, but you're not, so we're going to give you this trophy.
Well, that's why I'm trying to figure out why Austin Matthews qualifies as a finalist for this. And I guess that would fit in that. He's not going to win the MVP trophy, so
yeah,
at least not this year.
You've got to, I don't know, pick somebody, three guys from three divisions. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You take a look, Pavel Datsyuk dominated this from 2006 to 2009. He won it 4 years in a row.
A gentleman.
And you could say one of the, if not the best player in the National Hockey League for that time. I do remember the All-Star game here in the draft. Mm-hmm. Pavel Datsyuk was the first guy selected.
Yep.
After Cameron Ward.
Right. At Team Lindstrom.
So, again, you look at that, but if you go by the criterion, there are people who freak out over if you say criteria is one thing and it's criterion, or criterion is one thing and it's criteria. I don't see how Jacob Slavin doesn't hear his name tomorrow, Saturday, or whenever you're listening to this podcast.
I agree.
Okay.
He would be the first defenseman since Brian Campbell in 2012 of the Florida Panthers when he won it. And when you look at just the award in general, defensemen don't typically win. Well, I guess some get nominated, but they don't typically win the award, which is interesting. Not really sure. Again, not really sure the reasoning behind that, but that seems to be a trend that defensemen don't often win the award. But if there is a defenseman that should win the award,
it's Jacob Slavin.
It is.
He one penalty all year and all around nice human being.
Yeah, all of the above. And right. So he would be a very worthy winner. We'll find out on Saturday night if that's the case. And then, of course, the Calder Memorial Trophy awarded to the league's best rookie.
That'll be handed out during the Stanley Cup Finals.
During the Stanley Cup Final. Don't have a date for it yet. Alex Nedeljkovic nominated, unlikely to win. I think Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota is probably going to win.
You can make a strong case for Jason Robertson, though.
I think he'll be second.
I think Kaprizov, because Kaprizov got all the headlines early.
Yeah.
And he's a dynamite player.
And he was very good all season.
There's a fine line. Where do you stand on Rookie of the Year? Should there be like an age limit / you couldn't have played professional in other leagues because Kaprizov played in the KHL?
Yeah.
And I know that, all right, I'm going to do this for you right now.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
There should be an age limit for the Calder.
No.
I agree. I just threw that out there.
Because I think, let me check. I want to say that Kaprizov and Nedeljkovic are around the same age.
But there's also you can say, is there a difference between playing in the KHL and the AHL? You know, that's, I think, one of the problems.
Kaprizov's younger than Nedeljkovic.
But one of the problems that people have is the KHL is a professional league.
Yeah.
Well, so is the AHL.
Right.
You know, and if a guy is toiled away for 4 or 5 years in the American Hockey League and jumps up and has a monster rookie season, I don't see it's any different than a guy who had 4 or 5 years in the KHL or in the, you know, Swedish Elite League or in the Finnish League. It's no different.
Right. You're a rookie in the National Hockey League. That's the best league in the world.
A lot of that comes from, sorry to cut you off there, when there was the first wave of Russian players who came across.
Sure.
You're talking about guys in their late 20s, early 30s who were being up for the award. And they're like, well, that's not right. They're a rookie in the NHL.
Yeah, it's a different game. Even from the AHL to the NHL is a different game. Definitely from the KHL to the NHL. But no, I don't think there should be an age limit. I think Kaprizov will win. But for Nedeljkovic, it's a very deserving recognition.
Honestly, for him to get into the top three, that is a huge recognition for everything that he has done to get to this point in his career.
Well, yeah, and just for the season he had, the numbers that he put up that were not only tops among rookie goaltenders, but tops among all goaltenders really in the league. When you look at save percentage, goals against, in terms of goaltenders who at least played 20 games, Nedeljkovic was at the top of the list. And so for him to get that recognition is really good to see, because he played a huge part in the Hurricanes' success this season, especially when you look at the fact that the Hurricanes lose Peter Mrazek to a thumb injury just a couple weeks into the season, and then you're relying on a rookie goaltender and James Reimer to really carry the bulk of the load for the rest of the way. And you know, Alex Nedeljkovic never doubted himself or his abilities, but he had also never seen, you know, regular playing time in the NHL, extended playing time. And for him to really just grab a hold of the opportunity and run with it and, you know, probably in all likelihood, play himself into the role of starting goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes next year was really good to see, because he's someone, you know, like you said, who has worked extremely hard at every level he's at. He succeeded at every level he's played at. He accomplished everything that he could in the AHL. He won the Calder Cup. He won AHL Goaltender of the Year. There's not much else he can do at that level. And now he's here in the NHL putting up league-best numbers.
Yep.
And obviously, of course, the next step for him, the next step for the team, is winning the Stanley Cup.
Would agree with that.
So that's where we are in terms of awards. A couple more that will play out here in the coming days and weeks.
That at least involve Carolina Hurricanes.
That at least involve Carolina Hurricanes, of course. Other awards will be given out that do not involve Carolina Hurricanes. And then, of course, we'll see the Stanley Cup awarded, the Conn Smythe awarded. And then...
Do we need to bring back the made-for-TV award show that you and I hosted? The Mikeys?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know why we don't.
I thought you were going to say absolutely differently.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
I guess we didn't this year because TV was a little different.
And there wasn't a lot of this.
Crowd noise only.
I like that that's being worked back into the rotation.
So do I.
Should we get to some voicemails? Because we've got a couple here.
I believe we should.
All righty then. If you have a question or comment for the show, or you'd just like to have a little chat, I mean, we won't answer the phone and chat with you, but
no,
you can...
No, it's an answering machine.
Yes, you can leave a voicemail, and then we'll talk about what you said. Just give us a call, 919-500-Stephen Lorenz, Dougie Hamilton. That's 919-500-7819. And hey, it's toll-free.
Hey, gents, it's Caleb here from Mevin, season ticket holder. Wanted to start off by thanking you guys and really saying... You know, saying proud, how proud I am of the boys for a good season. It's always good to watch the boys make a run at the playoffs. Now, going into the offseason, you guys have the pleasure of really overthinking offseason moves and who's staying and going. But what gives me hope for the future is, you know, Dundon and Waddell's commitment to keeping the core together. And the core could be Svech, Aho, Natchez, Slavin. Could even throw Ned in there as well. We have had seen successful teams, you know, play this model that really keeps that core together. And then they make trade deadline moves or off-season moves to help them get to where they need to be. Boston had success with Pasta and Marchand, Bergeron. Pittsburgh has seen the success with Crosby and Malkin Letang, and then they've had role players like Connor Sheary who, you know, support, and then they go ahead and make their money elsewhere. My question for you guys is, you know, looking into the future, who, in your opinion, is our core that we just really can't lose? I know I named a few to start, but, you know, what do we need to get this off season that supports them? You know, maybe it's not a certain someone, but maybe strength like Hakanpää gave us, or, you know, just do you guys think that Rod wants to turn up the speed a little bit and get some faster guys to compete in the Metro? Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Caleb.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a good call.
Can I cheat on the core players? You said them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Caleb, you did a great job listing the core players. Yeah. Sebastian Aho, Jacob Slavin, Andrei Svechnikov. You tossed in Alex Nedeljkovic there as well. Teuvo Teravainen is, I think, among that maybe group. I mean, he's not as...
Marty Natchez could be in it.
Yeah, Marty Natchez. Teravainen wasn't one of the ones that, you know, when you say players like... Slavin, Aho, Svechnikov, Ned, players that the Canes drafted and developed.
That's what I'm, yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm looking at. So Natchez can be in there.
Yep.
Brett Pesce is in there.
Yeah, I would include Pesce as well.
So just for names that weren't said. And that's why if anybody is talking about, oh, you didn't say, and then throw out whatever name.
X.
I'm with Michael. I'm looking more at players who they drafted.
Yeah. Drafted and developed.
Although Teravainen is a guy who's on that list you can talk about as a core player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, you know, if I ran down the list, love having him on the team. We know what he means as far as a two-way player. And he might be, I'm not going to say the best passer in the league, but he needs to be on that list.
Yeah, he's a magician with the puck.
It's unbelievable the vision he has and how he gets the puck to where it needs to go. But core players to me are, and this is, sorry, Yankee fan of me coming out, the core four. You know, and the Yankees had Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, or Andy Pettitte. You can say, and Bernie Williams out of that, but Andy Pettitte, that's what they'd look at. They all got drafted around the same time. Bernie was a little bit before those guys, and they all came up through the system.
Yeah.
That's, so when I look at core players, it's who the team drafted and is invested in,
right,
and have gotten them there.
As far as what the Hurricanes need to add, and you mentioned the Metro, which I think, don't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast last week or not, but I think it's very winnable in this upcoming season, because even though the Pittsburgh Penguins did win the East this year, I don't think I
still need to see what everybody's going to look like.
Yeah, and that's very fair. But I think when you look at some of those teams, some of the powerhouse teams, I think they might be on the other side of the hill, and I think the Hurricanes are making that climb up the hill. I think the Islanders, you have to figure the Islanders into the mix.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought, I was just about to say, I think we all dismiss the Islanders.
Right. And then they're,
and here they are for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
In the conference finals. And, you know, with Barry Trotz, they've gone to the second round. Yes, the Canes swept them out.
Mm-hmm.
Second round, conference finals, conference finals.
Yeah.
That's not a fluke.
Right. So I think they're gonna compete in that top three. Yep. I think the Hurricanes will compete in the top three.
Then Washington. Then you take your pick: Washington, Pittsburgh, Philly.
I don't think Philly's. I don't.
Again, I've got to see what they look like before I can fully go in. But like, if you need an answer right now, today on June 18th, yeah, the Canes are the best team.
Yeah, well, I think
I shouted it for you.
I think they could conceivably win the Metro next year. What do they need to add? I mean, it's going to depend on
what's here.
Well, yeah, and what sort of pieces stick around and. So that's kind of a wait and see thing.
Can we just use we say it all the time because it's true, more depth scoring.
Yeah, but more depth just in general.
Well,
scoring or otherwise.
Before we get off onto the Tampa Bay Lightning tangent of that they added and we've covered this and we'll cover it again, I guess. They didn't do anything wrong. To me, it's not cheating if every team in the league can do it and you know what's happening.
Yeah.
The Kucherov situation.
I mean, really, every team in the league's over the cap right now because you can be over the cap. So every team's over the cap.
So before we go down that road, I know they're playing and that's what it is, but you don't get paid for the postseason. You know, it's all bonuses and whatnot tied into your contract, but that's why there's no salary cap in the postseason. Yes, they added Nikita Kucherov, but if you look at why Tampa Bay, I think, is now what, 2 wins away from defending their Stanley Cup championship?
Having a chance to defend it, yeah.
But 2 wins away from, having a chance to defend, of getting back to the final.
Yep.
I look at Yanni Gourde, Blake Coleman, Barkley Goodrow.
Yep.
And then
Pat Maroon,
Tyler Johnson, and Ross Colton.
Yep.
I look at that 6. That's really good. And yes, I know that Tyler Johnson's making $5 million a year on your fourth line.
Right.
But he was the guy in 2015 who helped them get to the final.
Yeah. And now I don't pay too much attention to the Lightning, but I guess he's embraced this new role of, you know, he's not going to play those huge minutes, but he's going to make that fourth line really one of the best that's left in the playoffs right now. Yeah, so depth is, I think, one of the keys. And that's going to be, I think, where you see some of the major changes made this offseason. And I guess that's true for any offseason because your core players are your best players. Those are your most important players. But perhaps the Hurricanes can take advantage of some salary cap situations. Yes, they spin to the cap. They're going to have some money coming off the cap as well. They're going to have an opportunity, perhaps, to spend a little money, and teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to have to find a way to move around some money. So, there could be something there that the Hurricanes can take advantage of.
But, like, that's why, yes, right now, today, I'm 100% on board. Is that actually a like it, keep it for you? Because I notice I gave one to you, and you just kept running right by.
Yep, that'll be mine. I don't even know what it was. What was it?
The Canes will win the Metro Division.
Yeah, I think they'll win the Metro
Division. I'll keep it.
Yeah.
But can I at least see what the other teams are going to look like before we...
Yeah, I don't see any team markedly improving enough to...
You say that, but then you never know what happens.
Yeah.
There, There are a couple of big names out there to be traded or might switch teams this year. If you won't look at it as everybody always looks at addition, but sometimes it's subtraction. Sometimes it's addition by subtraction.
Yeah. I don't trust Pittsburgh's goaltending enough.
Cap's still one, the belief I have in Peter Laviolette as a head coach.
Yeah.
And then two, there's still enough there for one more kick at the can.
I think
now they might be the team that puts it on. We just need to get into the playoffs mentality,
maybe,
as opposed to hammer down, win the division mentality.
They're old and slow.
Understood. But we're talking about winning the division,
yep,
not winning the Stanley Cup.
Yep. I think it'll be top three: Hurricanes, Islanders, Pittsburgh. You'll throw Washington into that mix as well. Those four teams, I think,
I would be actually more comfortable moving Pittsburgh out and putting the Islanders in the top three.
Yeah, that's fine. Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina.
And why are you dismissing the tortoise?
The tortoise?
You said old and slow.
Oh.
Tortoise, yeah, versus the hare.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You've got to be steady during the regular season. That's what the Hurricanes were.
Especially during an 82-game regular
season
versus 56.
Indeed.
But I think, you know, again, looking at the Metro from 2 years ago, yeah, versus next year, the Hurricanes are in a much better position to compete for the title heading into next season than they were in the previous two seasons.
Okay.
That's basically my point. And also, I think the other teams that have previously been near the top are also headed the other way.
In-depth answer to that question.
Yeah. So, Caleb,
thank
hopefully
you.
That answers your question.
Thank you.
Mike and Mike, how's it going, boys? Jonathan from Wrightsville Beach, NC. Calling with a like it, take it, and a question. So like it, take it is Dougie's going to re-sign for next year. I've seen all kinds of stuff in social media today after Carolina has allowed him to talk to other teams. I guess we'll see what happens, but I'm saying he re-signs. I'm hoping he re-signs. Don't want to see 1-9 go anywhere. Although he did have low scoring or no scoring playoff run. He did have a great season. I think whatever it was, two thirds of the way through the season, he had that crazy point streak run where correct me if I'm wrong, he set that franchise history for defensemen scoring, you know, a point a game for whatever it was, 11, 12 games in a row. So great offensive defenseman. Love to see him stick around. And then my question was, will there be a Summerfest this year? Like I said, I'm at the beach. I'm not a season ticket holder, so I don't get those emails, and I haven't been able to find anything online. Need some sticks, need some equipment. Wondering if there's going to be a Summerfest with an equipment sale. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks, boys, for all the great podcasts and the great commentary online as well as on TV. Thanks, boys. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
I've got a hockey stick in my garage that you can have.
Is it used?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. All the equipment's used anyway at the Summerfest, right, for the most part? Gently used.
Yeah,
you saw it. You actually have seen it get used, the one game I played.
Yes. Some of the equipment.
Came out of retirement for you.
Some of the equipment is new at the equipment sale. To get to that question first, Johnson, yes. There will be an equipment sale. There won't be Summerfest, though.
I wish that this was on the video portion of the Canes cast to see how Michael answered some of the equipment.
Some of the equipment is.
But there. Like you were.
Some is gently used.
Focused on what it was. No, this is gently used.
There will be an equipment sale this year. There will not be a proper Summerfest. Yeah. There's That's just fine. Everything's.
Everything's happening.
Well, everything's been moved back. I mean, right now we'd be in a normal year, probably preparing for the draft either this weekend or next. Mm-hmm. Prospects Development Camp, Summerfest would follow immediately the week after, you know, free agency July 1st.
Have to get a lay of the land of Vancouver.
Yes, and then, you know, that would be it for the summer. But we're still a month away from the draft. So so no Summerfest this year.
Left-handed stick, by the way.
But equipment sale. So if you need a left-handed stick, you know where to find it.
Exactly.
But there'll be right-handed sticks also.
Yeah.
Not many because not many right-handed shots on the Hurricanes team. Mm-hmm. Wish there were more because I could also use the right-handed.
Yeah, you shoot right-handed, I shoot lefty.
To answer your...
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
Dougie, does he stay or does he go?
I'd like to keep it, so I'm going to keep it.
I would like to keep it as well. I could see a situation where
both
isn't kept.
I could see him getting to free agency, and there's maybe a better offer out there.
This is...
I could see that, but I could also see the Canes offer being the best offer for him.
He is 28. 28? It's 28 years old.
Yeah. This is his last big NHL payday.
This is his big NHL payday. This is his one. This is his most lucrative contract that he's about to sign. So it's kind of a question for him whether, you know, he wants to secure as much money as possible, because chances are that team that's going to pay him the most money might not be the one in best position to win.
True.
So it's kind of a question of which one do you want?
There's also a question of, does he want 8 years? Do the Canes want to give him 8 years because he is 28?
Term is a big factor.
Term is a huge factor. Does he want to stay in a place where he knows where he fits, where he's comfortable? He is wanted here. He understands that. I think that that is crystal clear. And I think he wants to be here. Look, I'm not personal bias here. He fits so well for this team, for the aspect that he gives them, and he and Jacob Slavin play so well as that top pairing for this team. It adds depth. It allows Brett Pesce and Brady Shea to be your second pairing, which might be a number one pairing on almost any other team in the league. You know, at least I could probably tell you 25 other teams in the league. So you look at what it does and how it brings that depth to it. The Canes' power play this year was very good. That's no fluke. Yeah. He's the quarterback for the first power play unit and the talent that's on there. He has a unique set of skills.
He will find you.
Exactly. And he will score a power play goal or set one up for
you. He will kill you.
And he will get points. Yes, he did set the franchise record for points by a defenseman in consecutive games.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that process shakes out.
It comes down to, honestly, does he want term? Does he want money? Sometimes the best offer monetarily is not the best offer overall, because it would probably be maybe shorter in term, and I don't know if he wants to go with that.
Right, term is security.
So there's a lot to it. The tough part, I wish Michael and I could sit here today and tell you unfailingly this is what's going to happen. He is a right-handed shot defenseman who can quarterback a number one power play, who is 28 years old, who's coming into his prime, or is in his prime.
In his prime, yeah.
And you can put him on a top defensive pairing as well. Not a lot of those guys floating around out there who are available.
Yeah, so he's going to command
interest,
high dollar amount.
Well, he's going to command a lot of interest. The question is the fit there?
Yeah.
And ultimately, he decides that.
Yep.
Good question, though.
Hey, Mike and Michael. This is Alex. I'm sorry in advance. This is a bit of a long one. But first of all, I'm so incredibly glad that head coach Rob Brindamore got the recognition he deserves, and I can't wait to hear y'all's conversation with him. I believe Michael tweeted something about this, but I just wanted to hear maybe a little bit about whether y'all think Rob might finally get inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame after this, because he certainly deserves to. And then my second question, unrelated note, I was wondering if y'all have been watching the playoffs at all, and if so, who your picks are for the semifinals and the final. And finally, also on an unrelated note, I was wondering, with the draft being shifted as late as it was, if y'all have heard anything, or if you think that the Hurricanes will hold a development camp, or like the and potentially a Summerfest type event with it. Thanks for all you both do, and go Canes. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Alex. Bye-bye.
Good questions.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Rod Brindamore.
Yes.
you and all the other listeners as well, or other listener, if we have just two.
He should be in the Hall of Fame years ago.
Period. Oh, okay, yeah, that too.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I don't get this.
Yeah.
That's the one thing where, Michael, I'm sure of lots of things in life.
Like what?
That I need oxygen to survive.
Yep.
No matter what show I start to like, the ending will disappoint me.
Okay. It's bleak.
Well.
But, okay.
Tell me I'm wrong with how TV has gone lately.
Well, all right.
I mean, never get the satisfactory ending that you want.
That's a whole nother podcast.
And I don't want to get Bill Bernstein on us right now. We're in the middle of some good hockey talk here.
This is Bill Bernstein coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
Thank you, Bill. And I know that Rod Brindamore is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
The numbers say it. The way he played, his peers, the folks around the league. To me, the behind the bench should start to now, do we put him in as a player, and then do we induct him again as a coach?
Right. And just look at who else is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And compare those numbers to the numbers of Rod Brindamore.
His playoff performances, and not just in 2006, his playoff numbers are as good as almost anybody in the Hall of Fame. When you go point per game basis, I mean, we're talking about like the greats.
Yeah.
He's up there. Captain of a Stanley Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
He has played in the Olympics
mm-hmm.
for Team Canada on maybe the greatest team that they ever assembled. Although Dominic Hasek had something to say. Sorry, Rod. But, I mean, he's played in the World Cup. He's played in college hockey, where wasn't a long time at Michigan State, but he's one of the greatest players ever to come through there in college hockey.
He's played in the alumni game.
And
dominated.
Sorry, Shane Willis, but the best player in the alumni game. I mean, it's hands down.
Yeah.
Bar none. Because he hates to lose and plays to win the game.
Even when it's an alumni game.
I know of no good answer
right.
of why he is not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. There is none. There is none.
And this is not bias. I would say this if I was in California, Kalamazoo, or Calgary.
Ooh.
Thank you.
The three.
Well, two C's and one K.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree.
Wholeheartedly?
Wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
I'll
put it to you. Give me one reason why he's not in. Well, any reason whatsoever.
Someone on the committee must not like him.
That's it, and then that's stupid.
Right. Somebody's a fool.
A damn fool.
It comes up every year, right?
It has to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him not being in.
I go back to...
Head scratcher every year.
If you and I voted for who gets into a Hall of Fame, the question that should be asked is, can you write the history of this Hall of Fame?
Right.
Or of this, whatever it is. So I'll go sport. Can you write the history? And it's not just the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but all other leagues are like that as well. It's the Basketball Hall
of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yeah, basketball inducts college.
Right. There's no league affiliate. It's Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, okay. Which is...
It could be CFL.
You could induct CFL, but there's sure. a CFL Hall of Fame, and I don't know. There's some weird whatever there. Okay. But if we're on the board and I look at you and say, can we write the history of the National Hockey League without putting Rod Brindamore's name in that book?
It'd be a hole. Be a hole in the history.
So those are the guys
yep.
and women now who deserve, or can we write the history of hockey, pro hockey, without putting his name in there?
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Hockey Hall of Fame committee members, what are we doing?
At least, even anonymously, send us a reason. I honestly want a reason.
Yeah.
A legitimate reason.
Let's see the receipts.
Oh, there are other guys, and there are other numbers. And there's he was, first off, an Iron Man. Second, it's all of, and I know you can't measure the off-the-ice stuff, but guys have been put in because, oh, he meant so much to his team. And, you know, he's had numbers that are better than guys who've gotten in front of him. Well, they came first. He did it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know why I get... There are three or four players in pro sports that I get fired up about them not being involved in the Hall of Fame, in their respective Hall of Fames. One I can give reasoning to, and that's Don Mattingly in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He just didn't do it long enough. Back injuries cut his career short. I get it. But for 4 years, you won't find a more dominant player in the American League than what you had of Don Mattingly. But, of course, they're going to say that's not long enough. But Gale Sayers gets in the Hall of Fame in Canton for football, and his career was very short. But everybody recognized we had never seen anything like this.
Right.
So Mattingly's one, Rod's two. And then for other sports, you can run down the list of why this guy should or shouldn't or deserves to or doesn't deserve to get in there. It all becomes, for me, it becomes, you know, personal choice. Rod is the, everything says he should be in, but there's a reason why he's not.
Yeah, we just don't know the reason.
Don't know the reason.
It's a mystery.
Exactly.
One of the great unsolved mysteries of our time. Maybe he'll get in. I really do think he'll get in at some point.
I hope.
He's got to.
I hope. Hopefully this award sheds more light on it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
He is getting recognition now, so maybe that'll open some
hearts and
minds.
And the funny thing is, he's not about it. He's not about the recognition.
Yeah, like if you asked him, he'd be like, I don't really care. Like, whatever. I don't think it really matters to him. But it would matter. Like, it would be an incredible honor. It would be another validation for just what he accomplished in his career. And his speech would be amazing.
And, again, let's throw away the Carolina Hurricane bias that Michael Smith and I might have on this. The only man never to be booed by Philadelphia fans.
And that's worth a Hall of Fame induction alone.
He's in the Philadelphia Flyer Hall of Fame.
Like, they even boo Santa. So, you know, Santa's in the Hall of Fame of holiday characters.
I was at an Eagles game. They booed their coach while they were winning the game.
Why'd they do that?
Because they're Philadelphia fans, which, again, Rod Brind'Amour, the only professional athlete never to be booed by them.
Right. The 2013 maybe, draft in Philadelphia. Fans boo every team that comes to the stage. Carolina was smart enough to send Rod Brind'Amour up on the stage, and guess what?
He got a louder cheer than Philly.
He got a huge applause. He actually had to calm him down and say, hey, well, we're going to make a pick here. And it's for the Carolina Hurricanes, not the Philadelphia Flyers. So,
all right.
That's worthy of a Hall of Fame induction in itself. You're spent?
I got to calm down. Blood pressure is getting too high right now. Talks like it is one. He's a Hall of Famer.
I have been watching playoff hockey. Have you been watching playoff hockey?
Every night.
Yeah, it's great hockey. My picks, probably Vegas and Tampa.
Then I'll just say Montreal and the Islanders to be...
Chaos. That's the chaos final.
I've got Vegas and Tampa.
And that's going to be a really fun final.
Vegas better realize that you can't show up for two periods and win a hockey game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right.
We'll see. They're letting people back in the building in Montreal. Those fans are going to go insane.
2,500, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Have you seen what's outside of Centre Bell?
Yeah, but it's 2,500.
They'll find a way in.
It's going to be a boost.
You need a mountain climber to get up to the third level there.
Yeah.
The first level.
They've had zero, so really anything is better.
Setting you up for a very good security footage story that we could have.
Yeah. Took a little...
Me? Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. No, not a little.
Well.
That was, I'm looking at the ceiling bad.
But the atmosphere in Vegas looks incredible. That's a fun building.
It is.
Imagine being an expansion team and having Marc-Andre Fleury available to pick as your goaltender.
That is exposing him, wanted you to take him.
Yeah. What a world. It's not going to go as simple as that for Ron Francis.
No, but there is a blueprint to follow, like selecting a ton of defensemen and then flipping them for picks.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Vegas and Tampa probably, and I don't know who wins. A great series. I mean, Tampa has a pretty good shot of repeating, if we're being honest.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say Tampa will repeat, but if you had to rank them in order of who I think is going to win, Tampa's 1A, Vegas is 1B.
Yeah.
The Islanders are 3, and Montreal's 4. And, hey, let's keep doubting Montreal, and all they do is keep winning.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they've got a goalie who can stare down the other team.
That's the key. That is the key. And it would be cool to see Eric Staal back in a Stanley Cup final, too. Joel Edmondson.
It's been cool to see him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And good on Joel Edmondson as well.
Absolutely. And then development camp, Summerfest. Yeah, already covered that. No Summerfest, no development camp. Yeah. I say no development camp. The Hurricanes will be virtually meeting with the prospects that they draft. But, again, time's tight and travel restrictions, again, make it difficult to assemble everybody in one spot. So everything's virtual again this year. But there will be an equipment sale at some point. Not sure what the date is. Not even sure if there's a date if you're wanting to buy some equipment.
All right. And we've got a Twitter question. And remember, Ross at EdTechCaniac a few weeks ago sent us like an 8-part question. We didn't get to it.
Did he send us 17 questions?
Yeah, he did, but they're rapid fire, so we'll get through them. And okay. Ross, we appreciate it, but I'm going to put the caveat, this will be the last time we will answer anything more than 7 questions.
Okay. That's a fair number.
Thank you. Just leave it at 7.
Or we'll round it out to 10.
No.
Okay, 7. 7.
Thank you. Because no, you know what happens when you go to 10 and somebody's like, and a bonus question, and now it becomes 11.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you have 7, I'm giving you some leeway.
All right, rapid fire.
Here we go. What's your first memory of a meaningful contact with Coach Brindamore? What happened? When was it?
I interviewed him when he first became an assistant coach with the team, when he was still the eye in the sky. He wasn't behind the bench yet with head coach Kirk Muller. That was a good conversation. And I knew from then that, you know, he had a future in this kind of coaching thing.
It would have been mid-October of 2007. I just came down here from Richmond to work for 99.9 The Fan, host their morning show. And then seeing I hadn't really fully covered the NHL for the 6 years that I was at 6.5, I was in Richmond. I was excited to cover the NHL again. And I interviewed Rod, I believe at RCI. Might have been at PNC for the first time. I met him for the first time at RCI. But interviewed him at then RBC for the pregame show.
Yeah.
So that's that.
And it was probably a lovely conversation.
Oh, the best.
They always are.
It's one of those things where, because I'd never talked to him before.
Yeah.
And there's what you think it's going to be and then what it is.
Right.
And again, Rod Brindamore is a phenomenal human being.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Coach Brindamore received a huge number of votes and was, no question, the winner of the Jack Adams Award. But if he had not won, which coach do you think would have deserved it among all coaches, not just finalists? I'll tell you, my ballot was, because I get to vote on it.
Yes.
It's the broadcasters.
Yes.
I voted Rod Brindamore 1.
As expected.
Dean Evason 2 in Minnesota.
Okay.
Because the job he did with that team in that division, like everybody was supposed to be also Rans, and they're competing, you know, they're pushing Vegas and Colorado.
Yeah.
And then I voted for Mike Sullivan 3rd with Pittsburgh. And I honestly wrestled back and forth between Sullivan and Joel Quenneville.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
I think I would have given, like, Quenneville would have been up there for me just because it was the Panthers to me are just such an interesting team because they have a lot of like really good spare parts and it's a matter of putting them all together. And I feel like he was able to do that this year.
But they also have for me. And again, this is why it was tough back and forth. Yeah, they had some injuries and things to deal with. And I kind of looked at it and I'm like, yeah, but did they really get bitten by the injury bug? And they have their goaltending, Chris Drieger, came out of nowhere and was great, but you have a $10 million man in Sergei Bobrovsky. I think Alexander Barkov is not just a Selke Award winning forward, but he could have been in the Hart conversation. Jonathan Huberdeau is the same way. They did lose Aaron Ekblad down the stretch.
Yeah.
On their back end.
Month or two, yeah.
But, like, those are four players right there.
Yeah.
That any team would love to say this is who we're going to build
around. For sure. For sure.
Look, I know Sullivan has Crosby and Malkin.
Yeah.
But he didn't have Malkin for the majority of the year, it felt like. Right. So.
Yeah.
And another guy who, if he would have gotten him into the playoffs, Rick Bonus with the job he did with Dallas.
Yeah.
They had COVID. They had power outages. Just anything that could went wrong for that team. Huge injuries to stars. Yeah.
Tyler Seguin basically missed the entire season.
Ben Bishop, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it. But I think I would have voted Dean Evason for the job he did with Minnesota.
Then he scratched Zach Parise for some reason.
Yeah. Well,
I won't understand that one. Sometimes I feel like coaches overthink things, and that's a classic case of overthinking it.
All right, here's number three. Of all of Rod's many accomplishments besides this award, which do you think are the most meaningful to the Hurricane? What's winning the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's number one. You only have 69 adjectives to describe Coach Brindamore. Go.
Nice.
Nice.
Next.
Which players do you think have benefited most from having Rod Brindamore at the helm, and why? Sebastian Aho?
Yeah. And Andrei Svechnikov, I think, is a big one, too.
I would agree.
Because he's, you know, in talking to Justin Williams yesterday, one of the points he made was that Rod Brindamore is able to adapt. And to be a successful head coach in this league, you have to adapt. And I think old school coaches take a guy like Svechnikov and the mistakes he makes and then staple him to the bench. Yep. And that's that. Rod Brindamore, while he might do that on occasion, we'll also take him and then show him, like, okay, well, this is what you need to do. This is what you should be doing. And then trust him enough to go back out and make it right.
Did it in a game to Marty Natchez this year.
Right.
And then put him out over the boards, and he was involved in two big goals. You want the real answer to that question?
I thought I gave it.
No. Okay. You want the real answer?
Sure.
All of them.
Oh, that's very nice.
That is the real answer.
All right.
All coaches talk about winning and high expectations. What do you think makes Coach Rod different from them? Because not only does he talk about it, he walks the walk.
Yeah. He's the living and breathing embodiment of that.
Exactly. Question number seven. The Canes are often talked about as a family, and Rod talks about this. What are some of your favorite things about being part of that family?
Well, I mean,
Smitty's looked at as the favorite cousin, and I'm the old crazy uncle.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's making everyone feel a part of what you're trying to do.
And Rod Brindamore said that to us in the interview we did with him, which is now an hour ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys are part of that. And he doesn't have to say that.
Yeah.
But he means it when he says it.
Yep.
That's what's special. When you're around something special, just to ask that question, you know, what are your favorite things? Just being around something special, seeing how that group cares about each other and all the people who are around it. Eight, he won't leave anytime soon, but in an alternate universe, which other NHL teams do you think Rod would even consider coaching? Philadelphia.
Philly. But I think he would also, he stresses so much about this job. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, the fan base there, it's just, untenable.
Yeah, that's, but if you're making us in an alternate universe, pick one.
100%.
And that would be the only guy where the fan base would give him more than, I was going to say seven games.
Okay. But 10 games.
Two is fair. So, which life lessons is talked about or shown by Rod do you personally find to be the most valuable?
Well, I mean, again, going back to the family talk, he emphasizes the fact that family always comes first. And I think that's important to remember, especially in a job like this that is so demanding of time and energy that you still put your family first.
If you're going to do it, you put everything you have into it. That's the lesson that I have.
Yeah.
Rod seems to move and fidget all the time. Have either of you ever seen him sit still? Details, please. Yeah, he sat still for our interview.
Still enough.
Yeah.
To buckle him in.
I fidget all the time, so I don't notice it.
Yeah. Sway.
Yeah. Question 11. Last year, Rod had food delivered to the wrong address. Actually, it was this year.
Yeah, it was this year, yeah.
So it's It's a very human thing to have happen to someone. Fans be superhuman. What are their actions? Funny or not, humanize the guy. He has an incredible sense of humor.
Yeah, he does.
Incredible.
Yeah, funny guy.
So,
but that the Uber Eats thing is definitely the most human of all the.
That's the only thing. But he's right. If you've ever tried, I tried to order Uber Eats once. Having not done it, I am not of the caliber of you or other people who I know. No, it's not that I'm old. Just I hadn't done it before. And sometimes, like, you just want certain things, and like you can't do it. And I just punt. I'll go someplace. I'll walk to where I need to go.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Like it or take it. Like it and take it or send it right back. Rod wins 3 more Stanley Cups within the next 15 years.
Ooh.
Well, he doesn't see himself coaching for the next 15 years.
I'm going to send it back because of that.
Yeah, that's why I'll send it back.
He's
3
not.
Cups? I mean, one for sure.
One
for sure. Two.
It's hard enough to win one.
I would say two. I would take two. Man, 3, the way today's NHL is.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it's just.
And he isn't going to do this for 15 years.
No, he's not doing this for 15 years. 13, Rod is among many head coaches. I'm sensing a theme here with Ross. Who've played in the NHL. If you have not, what do you think about his playing career specifically that makes him an outstanding head coach? Because he's done everything.
He's done everything. He's experienced the highs, the lows. He can relate to players. And the work ethic that he had for himself as a player, he's carried right into coaching.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's done everything.
Yes.
So he can talk to everybody in the room and say, this is it. Rod occasionally coaches the 10 and under team of the Junior Canes. Do you know what skills he focuses on when he's with the kids also? Does he have the kids stay in the weight room for the 3 hours or only 2 hours and 59 minutes? First off, 3 hours. If you're going to do it, you put the time in all the way.
Yeah, you have to see Billy no matter what.
Exactly. Got work to do. Skills that he focuses on with the kids, I think it's at that level, it's have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I haven't asked.
Probably have fun, yeah.
Coach likely got a billion or so congratulatory messages on his award. If you could identify people who are probably among the most proud of him, who would they be? Everyone.
Family, friends.
Everyone. Everybody who knows him.
Yeah.
Someday Coach Brendan Moore will retire. Let's just say it's 70 years old. What will he have accomplished in the next 20 years? Whatever he wants to?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to coach for that long. He might move up into the front office and tinker around a bit.
See, do you get the reason why I said 7, not 10? Because then these become the bonus questions right. That we start getting into.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Next one.
And this is the last one.
All right, number 17.
Got a good
417.
One. Got a good one for this All right. one. This might, I wish Ross would have bumped this one up. This area has seen amazing coaches for so long. Jimmy V, Dean Smith, Coach K, Roy Williams, Paul Maurice, Coach LaViolette, Coach Rod Brindamore, if you could identify characteristics that are common to them all, what would they be, of course, besides the obvious dedication to winning? They are true to who they are.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
All of them. Jim Valvano was who he was. He wasn't going to change who he was because you wanted him to. Dean Smith was who he was and was not going to change. And you consider the time when he came up as the coach and the things that he did, the convictions that he believed in. Same thing with Mike Krzyzewski. Same thing with Roy Williams. They are who they are. This is what I do. This is how I do it. And it's how I believe it needs to be done. Their conviction in who they are. Same thing with Peter LaViolette, if you've been around him. Paul Maurice. I think Paul Maurice is the guy who evolved the most as a coach from the people you talk to and what he's been. But his convictions of be true to who you are. Don't change, and that's Rod Brindamore.
Yeah, I think you can have, you know, convictions of and be true to those convictions of who you are, but at the same time, adapt your style and your approach. And I think that's what helps coaches, you know, have longevity and, you know, not fizzle out so quickly. Because to stick around for, you know, decades, the game changes from decade to decade for sure, year to year somewhat as well, and to be able to have success, to have constant success, you have to be able to adapt your style to not only the game but the players who come up in the game. So it's important to have, yeah, I think you can have strong convictions in what you believe and how you believe things should be done, but at the same time also be able to adapt your style
mm-hmm.
and approach. So
understood.
That's a good one.
Well done, Michael.
That's a good podcast, long podcast. But hey, you know, if there's anyone we should have a long podcast for, it's Rod Brindamore.
How many times do we get to talk to the Jack Adams Award winner for the Carolina Hurricanes organization?
Well, now once, because we can say he is a Jack Adams Award winner.
And now in the future when he comes in.
That's exactly right.
And we will nail down that date. I can't wait for that.
It's going to be the summer. He said he's going to do it. We'll also have Justin Williams on at some point this summer. He said he'd like to come on. Oh. The guests are knocking down the doors here.
That'd be three times for Justin Williams.
Yeah. He was like, I've done your podcast before, right? And I was like, yeah.
Twice.
Definitely have done.
Well,
thank you.
Exactly.
And the end of every podcast.
That's very true. So
yeah. We've told him that he's been a part of, because he was our first guest, right?
Our first and best, we told him.
What episode was that? 2, 3?
I think it was like 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was.
But he was our first guest.
Yep.
And this.
Thank you.
Has closed out.
Every podcast since. Because that's, pretty sure that's how the interview ended. Either that or it was at the beginning.
No, we told him that he was the best guest that we ever had. And that's when he went.
Thank you.
And now it lives forever.
And then there's one that's coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And that happened, last season, I think it was. Mm-hmm. When I say last season, I mean 1920.
Yes, the last full season. We
can still say this season for this year. We're still within the boundaries.
Exactly.
Anywho.
Yes. We're the last, not even full season, but the last, yes.
Yeah. It's
the bubble season.
It's been a while since we've had a full proper season.
Time flies or drags on. But it always moves forward.
And with that,
we will say goodbye.
All right.
All right. As mentioned, Michael, this is a longer version of the podcast, but we appreciate all of you for sticking in this far. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ross, hope you're happy. That's the last time we'll ever answer that many questions on Twitter from one human being. So for all of the callers, and remember, if you want to call, Michael will say it's toll free.
It is.
It's not really. 919-500, Stephen Lorenz, Dougie Hamilton. 919-500-7819.
It is toll free. We're not charging you anything.
What?
Your phone company might charge you something.
Then there's a toll.
There's no toll from us, though.
That's true.
And just I don't think cell phone companies at this point, I don't think they charge like per minute anymore. Used to be a thing. I don't think
it's save your minutes, man. People are using it to call 919-500 Stephen Lorenz, Dougie Hamilton.
And you only have 2 minutes, maybe three.
Think three.
The shorter, the better.
There are those who have exhausted 3 minutes.
Yes. Yes. Multiple times, too. So, you know, you've got 3 minutes, but do you really need 3 minutes?
I'd say between 30 and 60 seconds is perfect.
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 All right.
All right. For the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you next week.
Moi moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.
Go Canes.